I started my healing on the side of that road in the Mojave Desert, so struck by the stars that I sat there for an hour basking in them, letting their brilliant rays light me up with celestial power. By the time I arrived in Flagstaff, I was no longer having a panic, dissociative, why God why episode. Still, I had the shaky sense that I had only narrowly escaped drowning. I felt like I had been sucked down into the undertow, where I'd been thrown and spun, only to be spat out, my mouth full of seawater, onto the Arizona desert sand. I decided that this was exactly what I needed, to dry out, to rest, to regain my composure before I began my volunteer work on two local congressional races. I was renting the last available place in the whole town because pandemic. At that point, every inconvenience seemed to be caused by the global nightmare and its supply chain issues, which I think was a hopeful euphemism for looming Armageddon. I found a condo on a golf course that was decorated like a ski lodge's dream of Thanksgiving. There were gourds everywhere. So many gourds. Ceramic gourds, wooden gourds with feathers attached to them, gourds with hand-painted children who look like ghosts. Real gourds? Were they gonna rot? Was I supposed to do something with them, or do gourds stay intact forever? Well, this was for sure not my style. It was surrounded by pine trees and opened onto a giant red wooden deck overlooking Mount Eldon and a vast expanse of sky. After months of being cooped up in my apartment, this was a huge improvement. My first morning in Flagstaff, I found a cute cafe for a little breakfast and journaling. As I waited for my burrito to arrive, I eavesdropped, overheard, a mom, dad, and two sons, roughly 11 and 8, though I am very bad at ages. It's also possible they were both 5 or 15, having a conversation. They were smiling and laughing. And as a Californian, I would say they gave off good vibes. When a waiter came, the father exclaimed, "We'll start these guys off with mac and cheese fries," prompting cheers from both boys. "We're carbo loading because these dudes have a big day tomorrow. We're going canyoneering." I had never heard of canyoneering before, so my eavesdropping, or listening, intensified. The waiter left and the dad explained, "Now boys, I've never done this myself, so I don't know what to expect. But if you get scared, I just want you to know we've got a guide with us who's done this hundreds of times before and whose job it is to keep us safe. So even if it's scary, you're gonna be safe." You're gonna be safe. His words landed on me like warm morning sunshine after a cold night, clarifying something I hadn't realized before. I had never felt safe growing up. In fact, my parents regularly told me how unsafe I was. From as early as I can remember, my mom cautioned me that sickos are out to get you. Kidnapping is up in the country and you're the perfect target. You could be raped, tortured, and murdered, or worse. You have to be very, very careful. What was worse than raped, tortured, and murdered? I didn't want to find out. I recollect one time when I was 9 years old and sitting in a restaurant on the 3rd Street Promenade, one of the most popular outdoor shopping malls in Los Angeles, needing to go to the bathroom. When I asked my mom to be excused, she barked at me, "Pay attention, you never know who might snatch you." With the threat of snatching in the air, I decided that it would be best if I stayed put, even though we were in one of the safest neighborhoods in all of human history. Minus the O.J. Simpson murders. I decided to wait until we got home.